Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
As you wake up this morning, there's a dusting of snow on your ground in the burbs. Oh, yeah, you go west. Don't you shake your head at me.
Now, my burb.
You go west, you're going to see a dusting of snow on the ground.
I saw it, Steve.
You see it, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
You're backing me up on this.
Yeah, and there was some lake effect a little bit closer to the sea.
It was a blizzard compared to what we had yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We're all lucky to be alive.
Whiteout conditions, I saw it.
Did I miss all this?
I'm dreaming when I was gone. Of a white Christmas.
You're so lucky not to be out west where it's snowmageddon.
We got ours like a month ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So, we beat you.
So, there's a dusting of snow on the ground. It's a shock as you walk out this morning. Oh, wait, it's December 7th. Mm-hmm. I guess it's okay. Mark Sapelsa will join us live in the studio this morning in just a few minutes. He's going to hang out for a while. And tomorrow he'll do his last Channel 9 newscast, and then he'll have no place to go. He'll just wander the streets aimlessly, waiting for people to recognize him.
He made a comment yesterday. Skilling was asking him a question about the weather, and he said, oh, if you have time. And Mark said, well, in a few days I'm going to have nothing but time.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this. I don't know what's going on. I'm just not buying it. He's got to have some sort of illegal operation he's a front man for. But he'll be in here in just a few minutes. Chuck Todd, as always, on Thursdays, plenty to talk about there, obviously. Hawks tickets at 7:20, and our friend Ann Johnsos has her first book out.
Yeah, how about that?
Gonna come in and plug that. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Senator Al Franken from Minnesota, scheduled to make a big announcement on the floor of the Senate today. I don't think it's a Christmas list thing. I think it's he's leaving. The Democrats trying to find some moral high ground in Congress. Anybody seen the moral high ground? Who put the moral high ground away? I can't find it. Franken will make the announcement after a seventh woman accused him of making an improper sexual advance in one form or another. That's expected midday today. Next. The Thomas Fire in Ventura County has grown to almost 100,000 acres, and it's only 5% contained. I talked to our pal Mark DiCarlo yesterday, who lives in Los Angeles, and he said he could walk outside, and though he is in a position where feels their house, their home is safe, in any direction you could see orange in the sky. In any direction you could smell smoke, and he's miles and miles and miles and miles from the closest fire. Bel Air, one of the richest neighborhoods, if you will, in the country, lost some homes yesterday. Rupert Murdoch's home was on fire yesterday. And so it goes. The fire doesn't care. And what's making this particularly worse is incredible wind and bone dry vegetation. The two worst combinations, or the worst combination you could have.
The images are crazy. Just insane, because it's like they're on the north side of one of the highways and the south side as well. So it's like burning road, burning.
Yeah, it's like on the 405, they're driving through the
right
on the 405.
It's like a tunnel of flames. Yeah.
I mean, it's like driving down the Kennedy.
Right,
if there were flames
fire.
on both sides.
Yeah,
it's insane. Next, the tax plan that was just passed. There is a very cogent argument that could be made that the tax plan favors richer folks and doesn't favor poorer folks. The good news is there's nobody who would be foolish enough now to try to pay for the tax plan by whacking Medicare or Medicaid. Oh, wait, this just handed to me. Mm-hmm. Paul Ryan is now going to have to explain this. Well, it's very clear that social programs need to be adjusted downward if we're going to find any way to save some money. After getting their political win with the passage of the tax plan, Paul Ryan is now urging the Republicans in Congress to target welfare, Medicare, and Medicaid as the soul of the... Anybody seen the soul of the Republican Party?
Boy.
Maybe it's with the moral high ground. What box was that in?
And next. You know, just 3 weeks ago, he said none of that stuff would be touched.
Yeah, he forgot. Yeah. He forgot. The Inspector General for Chicago Public Schools has recommended that Forrest Claypool get tossed for his handling of an ethics investigation involving the district's top attorney, the school district's top attorney, Mayor Emanuel said. He's sticking by Claypool. Emanuel said in a statement, Claypool made a mistake, but asked that there be no rush to judgment. Apparently, the mayor doesn't understand. We live in a time of rush to judgment.
Right.
All we do is rush to judgment. I don't know if Claypool should be tossed out or not. I frankly haven't spent enough time with the story. But he has been embattled or worse since he took the job. And prior to that, I'm at a loss to figure out why so many people really, really dislike Forrest Claypool.
Well, he's held every position. I mean, he was in charge of the Forest Preserve. He was in charge of the CTA and now CPS. And this accusation is just, it just borders on unethical.
Okay, here's my question. Is it Forrest Claypool? Or is it the environment that we now live in? Because every place he goes, people yell and want him to leave.
I think it might be him. I think, in this case.
Well, we need to dig a little more.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next. Chicago Blackhawks are in trouble. Our Chicago Blackhawks looked very, very, very bad last
night.
They did. In a 6-2 loss to the Washington Capitals, one of the two or three best teams in hockey now. The Blackhawks have some very serious figuring out to do. That's a technical National Hockey League term, the figuring out part, Dave.
Yes.
But a 6-2 loss in a building they haven't won in since, I believe, 1996.
06.
Oh, it was 06?
Yeah, but okay. It could be. It could just as well be 96.
0-6, 0-7 the last several times.
Yeah. And they haven't been close.
That's not even in the game.
The troubling part.
And beat to the puck in every facet of the game. Stupid penalties, not good on the penalty kill, which they've been fairly good at, certainly not good on the power play. I don't know what's going on. This is a team still filled with talent, top to bottom, but they just can't seem to figure it out. Now, it's early, but it's getting later.
It is. It is.
I mean, that's deep.
For a while you can say, okay, well, it's still kind of early. We got plenty of time, and they do have plenty of time. Yeah. But they need to get it figured out quickly. Now it will help having Corey Crawford back. Having three home games before you go on the road for your longest road trip of the year, six in a row. But Crawford, they think, will be back on Sunday.
That
will help. Not that Forsberg's done his best to keep him in it, but last night, that
first goal,
kind of an ugly first period.
Yeah, first goal was fine. The two after that, you got to stop those.
Yeah.
So, and the kid that followed him looked okay for a while, and then and then that got ugly. What is his name? Brubeck?
Berube.
I don't know. I'm sorry?
Jean-Francois Berube.
How about you leave the French to me?
Oh, oui, oui.
Why, you don't like that?
And finally, there's this. Wait, did I do five or six? I've lost track. Oh, let's call it six. The oldest known supermassive black hole in the universe has been found. Steve, what is this called?
It's supermassive black hole.
No, but there's a name for it.
Black hole.
All right. quasars, also known as active galactic nuclei, are the brightest non-transient objects in the known universe. Who didn't know that?
And these quasars, they can shoot across the galaxy and destroy things, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah. So you don't want to be in the way of one of those.
They're thought to be caused by a gas-guzzling supermassive black hole. Wasn't that a car my dad owned in the 60s, the gas-guzzling supermassive black hole?
Gas-guzzling super black hole.
We had a TV called the Quasar.
TV, I remember
I think Motorola Quasars, right?
Yeah, Quasar. By Motorola. Do you remember that spot?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. A Quasar could shoot across the galaxy, and if it hit a planet, it could blow it apart. This could be like you're in like
this. You almost sound like you want that to happen. What's wrong with you?
No, I just
you
don't want this to happen.
It's kind of interesting. It reminded me of Star Wars too.
Yeah. Okay, that's a movie.
Planet Killer.
That's Star Wars is a movie.
I know. What?
As material in the disk falls towards the black hole, it rubs together and generates light, heat, and X-rays shining brightly at many different wavelengths. This black hole is how much more large than the sun? 100 million times or something crazy? There's some crazy mathematical figure about how much larger than the sun this black hole is. There's a lot of space out there.
Yeah. So. That could be in a coffee mug, too.
We should tell Donald Trump that because he thinks the world revolves around him. It turns out it doesn't.
That's an awesome one, by the way, too. There's a lot of space out there. I like that.
Right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's early, but it's getting later. It's 6:21. Go Hawks. Come on, kids. We know you got it. Let's get this together. And let's come back right after we do traffic here. And then Nick will talk to us in a second. Then Chuck Todd and Mark Spels and all the other stuff I mentioned.
What to see, what's out at the show. Oh, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Kian's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good.
Here comes
good.
Nick.
What's stinking?
DiGiulio.
He's the only one.
Hi, buddy.
Who's in
hey. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Aren't you in the middle of your 12 weeks vacation you always take at the end of the year?
No. That's it's the week after next.
And then we won't see you until 2018?
Until 2018, yeah. The my last show of 2017 will be Monday morning, the 17th or 18th.
And that's cool because he sings a cappella, Dan Fogelberg, Same Old Lang Syne, before he leaves. It's always a nice tradition. What do you want for Christmas?
My two front teeth.
No, that's not right. What do you want?
I don't know.
You've reached that point in your life, huh? You've reached that point in your life where you go, world peace, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Top show business headline we ought to be thinking about today?
Show business or movies?
Well, either one.
Well, the big movie that's opening this weekend is Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman.
Now, getting married, he is one of the finest actors out there. He's been married five times now.
One time to Uma Thurman, if we remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't know how you make that mistake. Not the mistake of leaving her. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So what do we know about Darkest Hour?
Well, it's good. I can tell you that, and it's and he's great in it. And I can also tell you right now that if you're going to be in an Oscar pool, you may as well just put all your money on Oldman because he's going to win. It's one of those body changing. He gained a bunch of weight. He's wearing a bunch of makeup. He's unrecognizable. He looks exactly like Winston Churchill. And it's a very well made movie. Joe Wright directed it, who also directed Atonement and a few other really good films. And
how's the voice? Because the voice of Churchill is either mesmerizing or a distraction when people play him.
I think he's great. I think he's great. I think the voice is good. It's not distracting. It's the only thing that's distracting about it is that. You know, every once in a while you go, oh, I can see Gary Oldman's eyes in there. You know what I mean? Because the physical transformation and the makeup and the weight is so huge that he doesn't even resemble Gary Oldman. And then every once in a while he'll do a vocal thing or he'll look at the camera and you go, oh, yeah, I forgot. That's Gary Oldman.
Well,
but it tells that it's essentially, it's kind of, if you go back and look at what Dunkirk was about, it's kind of a sequel to Dunkirk. It's like it takes place like right after Dunkirk and over that time. And, of course, it has the famous We Shall Never Surrender speech in it. And it's, good supporting cast. And it's a solid movie. It's really, really good. And it's a movie that is, it's released at the end of the year. It's got a transformative performance by a lead actor. It's directed by a guy who's directed movies that have been nominated for hundreds of Oscars. So it's one of those Oscar movies that, in the next couple of months during awards season, you're going to hear a lot about this movie and a lot about Gary Oldman, and it's worth it too. He's really terrific in the film.
The Post looks like something I have to see. Is that out this weekend or next?
No, 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks still.
Yeah, Spielberg's new movie. Yeah, it's a couple of weeks away.
All right.
The other two that come out this week are Wonder Wheel, which is Woody Allen's new movie with Kate Winslet and Justin Timberlake. She plays a frustrated housewife who is married to a lout played by Jim Belushi. She ends up having an affair with a lifeguard played by Justin Timberlake. There's a competition between her and a younger woman named played by Juno Temple. It's a period piece, takes place on Coney Island in the 50s. And it's recycled Woody Allen. He's covered this kind of stuff like a million times before. It's a really bad film. Here's how bad this movie is, Steve. It's so bad. The best thing about it is Jim Belushi. That's that's how bad.
That's stunning.
Yeah,
that will knock you on your heels.
Seriously, the best thing in the movie is Jim Belushi.
Wow.
And we're talking about a movie with Kate Winslet, and we're talking about a movie with Juno Temple and a pretty good cast, and Jim Belushi is the standout.
Well, I don't even know what to say to that.
That's
interesting, bizarre, and all of those things.
And then the other one that came out this week, which I think is by far the best movie of the week, is called The Shape of the Water. The Shape of Water. The Shape of Water is with Sally Hawkins. Takes place in the early 60s. It's written and directed by Guillermo del Toro, who did Pan's Labyrinth and so many other really imaginative and crazy and original movies. This is a movie where she plays a mute woman who is working in a very secretive laboratory. She's cleaning up. She is a janitor along with Octavia Spencer. And she is cleaning up this lab one night when she sees this very weird sort of amphibious man/fish/lizard thing that they discovered in the Amazon and they're going to torture and do tests on. Michael Shannon plays the leader of the experiment who wants to kill the thing and dissect it and find out what's happening with it. And they're in competition with the Russians who want to get a hold of this thing. And this is during the Cold War. And this mute woman played by Sally Hawkins falls in love with the amphibious creature.
This is where it gets weird.
It gets very weird, and it's an adult R-rated fairy tale, and that she tries to rescue this amphibious fin guy, and a love story emotes comes from it, and it's very strange. It's rated R. There are some explicit sexual things in this movie and some violence.
But we don't have a love scene between the squid and the woman, do we? Or the
I would say yes. We do.
I don't know. I can't look at that. Can I? I don't want to see that.
I think you can. I think it's one of the best movies of the year. I think it's imaginative. It's unlike anything that's been made. It has this incredible way of like being a very, very fairy tale, beautiful kind of thing. It's a great sort of exciting Cold War thriller. It's creepy. It's funny. It's beautiful. It's about people who are outsiders, who don't fit in, who feel
that they
don't
belong. But you're telling me it's got a woman making out with a manatee.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, boy.
It's like Splash 2017.
That sounds weird.
Reverse Splash.
Well, except, in Splash, you had Daryl Hannah who had. In this, you've got a guy who looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon, and it's a little different. But
he's not wrong.
I think it's great. Richard Jenkins is great in it. He plays her friend who tries to help out and rescue this creature and bring him back to the ocean where he should be free. And Michael Shannon from Chicago, he plays the villain and plays it beautifully. Like Michael Shannon can play a villain, and this is Michael Shannon at the height of his Michael Shannon-ness.
This proves that what we already know, and you see it on Michigan Avenue every day. Women will accept bad-looking men if they fall in love with them for other reasons. You see beautiful women with goofy-looking dudes all the time, though rarely do they look like sea creatures. All right, I'm out of time. You on the radio tonight?
Yes, I am. I'll be back. And Sven Gulli's going to be on with us.
All right, great. Great. We love him. Tell him hello and tell him happy holidays from this show.
I will do that. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. That's Nick DiGilio. The great Mark Sapelsa joins us shortly to call off his retirement. Stand by for that. It's going to be big news. We'll get to the big story first on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm not going to get into that or speculate on that. I'm certainly not going to talk to anybody else. This is what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to take responsibility by apologizing. And by apologizing to the people I've let down. And I'm going to work to regain their trust. I am going to be accountable. We are going to cooperate completely with the ethics investigation.
Oh boy. 1 minute people are talking about you running for the White House in 2020. The next minute it's get out. Al Franken will likely make his retirement from the Senate announcement later today. Mark Sapels is here. We'll talk to Mark about, you know, the fact that he's stepping down. No, by the way, no scandal. And Pat Brady's here as well. But let me get to our friend Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, host of 1947, a highly recommended podcast by this show, also MTP Daily and Meet the Press. I mean, there's no surprises here, Chuck. Is there? Al Franken's going to say bye-bye today.
Yeah, it would be a surprise if he decided to not do it.
Right.
If he decided to say, I'm going to stick it out. But it's pretty clear that he's agreed to do it, because I don't think Chuck Schumer, who is sort of the 35th senator, but you could argue perhaps the most important after the first wave came out. I mean, I think the moment, and let's not underplay this moment here of the Senate women essentially saying enough is enough, taking the lead on this. But when Schumer belatedly got on board, what that told me is he, and I know that he had met with Franken and his wife already, that told you the deal is done. We're just going to wait to see what Franken has to say. And what does his apology to the U.S. Senate sound like?
Mark Sapels and I both spent several years in Minneapolis, and I believe the law there is a special election for 2018. And I've heard the female lieutenant governor would be appointed.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard the same thing?
Yeah, it's my understanding. Yeah, I talked to a couple high-level party people in Minnesota last night, and that, and while you never can predict what Mark Dayton, the governor, is going to do, he's kind of a material kind of guy. The assumption is, number one, he's going to replace Franken with a woman. Number two, he's looking for somebody who won't run in themselves, because obviously there's a lot of Democrats who want a piece of this, and he doesn't want to get into the game of playing favorites. So find sort of a caretaker type appointee. And apparently the lieutenant governor has no interest in going to Washington. So voila. And then this the special will essentially be held simultaneously with the regular scheduled elections of 2018. And Amy Klobuchar's Senate seat is up as well. So I don't think she was going to be that vulnerable, but any Republican that was remotely thinking will now run in the other race. So she will be getting off fairly scot-free now in 2018.
This is the upside down world we live in now. And this is not a defense of Al Franken at all. I think Al Franken should step down today. But the guy that
Look,
is
I
said,
I think we should hold our lawmakers to a higher standard. You know,
yeah, I agree.
I hear people belly aching. Oh, you know, so and so needs due process. You're not entitled to due process when you're a role model. We're asking you to be a role model in America. And I'm sorry, I think as elected officials, you have to. We have a higher bar as a society.
Chuck's right.
Yeah, I completely agree. But here's the thing. The Republican Party is screaming now about the fact that, well, Roy Moore isn't the same because Roy Moore has never admitted that anything happened. Al Franken did. What the hell kind of standard is this? The guy that said I did it and steps down voluntarily is the bad guy.
Steve's right.
Right?
You want to... I love these little snippets in here that you're chiming in. It's just sort of like I'm trying to think of who, you know, it's almost like a Beavis and Butthead, right? You just sort of jump
right.
in.
Chuck's right. Chuck's right. He's not wrong.
Look, the Republican Party's in a huge box now. The Democrats have cleaned their house, right? There's no what about Franken now and what about Conyers. Now the Republican Party has to stare at themselves in the face and realize they've become the party of Roy Moore. And I can tell you this, if it is now, I don't even think that it is a hand-wringing scenario for Republicans. There is no, the only upside for the Republican Party in 2018 is if Roy Moore loses. If Roy Moore wins, I think it's the worst outcome for the Republicans, because he becomes the most famous U.S. senator in America. If Roy Moore loses, he's a footnote in the Trump wars of 2017. Mm-hmm. But if he wins, he's the most famous U.S. senator in America, and an albatross until he is somehow drummed out of the Senate.
Okay.
And so,
but that's the question. Yeah. That's it, Chuck. If he wins, do they begin proceedings immediately to try him to have him removed for the Senate, or is it just a cover-up?
I don't know that they can. I mean, they make the rules, but the fact is, all of this is stuff that happened before he ran for Senate. So, what jurisdiction do they have over it?
Well, they can decide. Look, they can expel somebody. I mean, they have the power to expel somebody from the Senate. Now, the voters have the power to keep electing said person back in a given state. But they have the power to expel. Look, I do think the Franken resignation means that the Republicans have no choice if Moore comes in. They have to essentially do whatever it takes to get rid of him. And if they don't, then they only have themselves to blame when they wonder why come November 18. And they pine for the days of the 20-point gender gap, you know, and it becomes a 25-point gender gap or a 30-point gender gap. That's and I know amazing. These numbers may seem absurd, but you know what? They could get that absurd if they mishandle this.
Television.
If they're not careful.
Television legend Mark Sapelsa, say hi to television legend Chuck Todd.
Oh, Chuck.
Congratulations, Mark, and good for you for pulling the ripcord.
I'm free falling, and I landed right here in the Cochran Show today, Chuck.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Thank you, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
It sounds like Paul Ryan's got the same problem he had. If you replace Roy Moore with Donald Trump, it's the same problem he had before the election. Oh, please don't win. Oh, please don't win. He won. Oh, please don't win. Oh, please don't win. Moore might win.
Ryan and McConnell are in charge of a Congress that has no soul. It's outrageous.
But they don't run their party. I mean, Steve Bannon's in charge of the party. I mean, look, all the leaders wanted to abandon Roy Moore, and Steve Bannon said, what? No, you don't. So President Trump said, okay. And the RNC said, okay.
And then they came back.
And here they are. Yeah,
as far as the moral high ground goes, the Democrats got to be careful about grabbing too much of that as well, because the consciousness of this Congress is ridiculous, and there needs to be Chuck, I've said it for years. We got to find the flush handle. There's a flush handle somewhere around the Capitol. We got to find it and hit it. It's time to start over.
Well, look, and it's funny you say this is why I don't think, like when I was talking to Democrats over the last couple of weeks, and they were wringing their hands about Franken, right, and people were sitting there going, well, geez, you know, who stays and who goes in this moment that we're having right now on sexual assault? And I'm thinking, you know what? This isn't the time to come up with degrees of acceptance. You sort of got to, it's like, you know, if you make that decision, oh, well, there are parts of my car that I can salvage.
That's what Gillibrand said
overall,
last night.
But overall, it's totaled. Yeah. You know what? It's totaled. It's totaled. Start over. And that's what you're saying about Congress. It's been total.
Yeah,
okay,
really
it's not worth rehabbing.
Really is.
You know.
Yeah, we called Allstate. They said we're not going to pay this claim. Get out.
That's right.
I'm
done paying these claims.
I talked to my son last night, and Mark, you have an adult son as well, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you've done this, but I told my son that anything he and I say is under father-son privilege.
I've heard that.
That's the new statute is brought up by Donald Trump Jr. What sort of bizarre world is this?
By the way, and he's struggling to answer questions in front of the House committee. That's the easiest of the committees to go in front of, because you have, you know, if you're Trump Jr., you have at least half of the House committee that doesn't believe in this Russia investigation, right? So this is the easiest of the interviews you're going to hold. You think an answer like that is something you can give to Bob Mueller when you're sitting in front of Bob Mueller? I mean, he's not going, you know, you can say that to a member of Congress and they don't know what to do with it and they wring their hands and then you can sort of get away with it kind of and walk away and live to fight another day. You do it with a federal prosecutor and you could be, you know, you could wake up to a subpoena the next morning.
Over.
You could wake up to all sorts of issues the next morning. So it's quite an interesting standard, but, you know, Donald Trump Jr. is sort of the Keystone Cop. There's everything about what he's done on this Russia thing.
Fredo.
Has a Keystone Cop feel to it. Yeah. No. I mean, because, you know, look, Kushner was clearly the brains of this operation, not Junior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just see. We don't quite know what's going here. I'm pretty sure Mueller's got his sights set on Kushner and that Junior is sort of plays the, you know, he wanted to be relevant. You know, it's like, oh, no, I want to collude with the Russians. You know, it's almost like he found out, oh, the favorite son-in-law's colluding and he's succeeding. Yeah. I want to do it too.
Exactly right.
And he was so clumsy about it, you know, with the meeting with the Russian lobbyist and all that.
This will finally make daddy like me.
Yes. No, there is some weird, like, and so, no, the whole Trump part of this has always felt like this sideshow of sorts. I will say this, but the core of the investigation, I do believe it's Kushner that's more at the center of this than Junior.
It's all enough to make your head explode, and Chuck Todd has to cover it every single hour of the day on MTP Daily, 1947, the podcast, and this weekend as well. I thank you for doing it, and I thank you for being on.
Well, I appreciate it, and Mark, I understand why you're leaving.
Took the words out of my mouth, Chuck.
Thank you. Right. See you later. That's Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. We'll dig into this with Mr. Sapelsa in a moment. Pat Brady is here as well. Eric Edelstein will join us next hour. Free Blackhawks tickets. Much more to come. Steve Cochran live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more. Much more than this.
He's not quite dead.
You wouldn't know it, though.
Every time I look up on Channel 9, I see the well-meaning graphic, help us say farewell to Mark Sapelsa. That's a good-looking corpse, man. He's not dead yet.
I love how they're reading every night the hashtag farewell Sapelsas. And my favorite one was yesterday, not to put you on the spot, Mark, when they said, now there's going to be no more hunks delivering the news in Chicago.
Hey. Wow, and that includes Grzanich.
That's
Steve, I don't know if you're offended by that.
Oh, they meant that. TV. They meant
TV. I know. 708 Texter, we need more journalists like Mark, not less. Selfishly, I hope you get really bored, Mark. Congrats. You're going to be missed.
Thank you.
All right, so let's back this up for a second. All and right. Pat Brady's here. We just had an emotional moment where Pat gave Mark a check for $100 million.
I'm going to frame it. $100 million. Next generation.
Yeah. The amazing thing is he's got it.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. He's got it.
That's what I know.
That's
about
why
it.
I'm here at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's back this up. You made this decision probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, you are correct.
And you were targeting now, or you were targeting even before now?
No, now, because my contract, you know, I was going to fulfill my contract, you know, to the end. I was enjoying what I was doing.
Right.
You know, 3 or 4 years ago when my wife and I really discussed it seriously, wait a minute, see, the kids are going to graduate from college. Let's see if they have a job. And they're off our dime, we can afford this. So we were doing all the math and all the calendar stuff. I was having a good time. In fact, you know, she said to me, this is a completely different subject, but when I went to treatment for alcohol 5.5 years ago, she said, maybe it's time to retire. Lower your stress. I said, no, that's the last thing I need. I need to keep myself busy.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I was enjoying it. I really am. And I still am enjoying it. But we did have a target, and I've had a goal. I've had a goal since Minneapolis days when I met you 31 years
ago.
Yeah,
but that's the funny thing is I've known you for 30 years. We never talked about this.
No, but it was in the back of my head that, okay, because, you know, remember We bought our Montana cabin in like 1994.
That's Mark and I. We bought our Montana cabin.
The two of us.
Yes.
And
by the way, it's not a cabin. I've seen the pictures. It's a very nice home.
No, it's a cedar house, but trust me, it's more garage than house.
Okay.
It's more deck than house.
Okay.
Really. Seriously. If you and Pat Brady take the drive out there, and you're in our little nook where you're going.
We're bringing Edelstein, too.
Okay,
Edelstein's
great.
Coming. Yeah, Andrea's
Thelma
coming.
Thelma Louise.
So Dave can't come. He's got a game.
We'll need. <That's> he always has
I'm
a
in.
Game.
Yes.
I'll be laying on the deck.
There's not a lot of room for all five of you, so we'll have to pitch a tent. So anyway, so when we bought that, I said.
And that's 94.
94. I said, someday we're going to move here, and someday sooner than later we're going to move here.
But here's the thing. Everybody says this. You know, you ought to be able to get out at the top of your game. You've never been better. You've never been better. Mm-hmm. People are throwing awards at you every time you do a story. You've got this investigative news team, which kicks ass on all the other channels in town. Channel 9 has a great general manager in Paul Rennie.
Yes.
And you are
great
on top of
director.
Your game.
Yeah.
So I said this to you privately. Let me say it to you publicly.
Okay.
You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You're going to be sitting out in Montana, and the first time when the Donald Trump impeachment finally kicks in, you're going to be going, somebody give me a camera.
No, he'll be Skyping. You'll be the expert Skyping from the deck.
Are you going to miss it?
I'll miss some parts of it. Yeah. I definitely will miss some parts of it. I'll miss the game. I'll miss the chase. I'll miss the people. But I'm ready.
You're done.
Because I've been thinking about this for a long time.
How about the makeup?
You know, I'm going to take it with me.
Are you going to have a makeup guy on hand in Montana?
There's no makeup guy at WGN. Yeah. It's me.
That's right.
Ask Dave Bennett.
Yes, yeah. I can vouch for that.
You all have your drawers.
We have a drawer. Right.
Right.
So I'll be bringing that with me.
You'll get shot in Montana.
I know I would. Yeah.
When did you tell your old friend Ron Majors you were doing this?
The text was literally, well, if you're happy, I'm happy for you. Are you sure?
But the reason everybody's asking you this, from your friends to viewers and everybody, is because they see what we all see. And you go, well, why would you leave now? You're on top of your game. But you made this as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I really did. And in all seriousness, I think I know I'm not a type A workaholic, but I am one speed.
Yeah.
And the one speed has gotten me into trouble. You know, that's why I went to Hazelden. Because when you're one speed, sometimes you need to decompress, and so I had to find new ways to decompress and de-stress, and I have. But part of that whole lifestyle thing was, even this week I should be kicking back and kind of like, okay, let's talk about how fun this has been. And it's been a great time. But there's a lot to do. I'm always in that a lot to do. And so when I put that a lot to do away, I'm kind of one of those guys that is, like I've been saying, boringly industrious. I can while away the hours of a day like nobody can, including if I've got no deadline, no clock, no this. I could take like 7 ventis and read every paper, every this, every that. I'm going to take a nap. Now I'm going to get up and then.
If you had 7 ventis, you're not taking a nap.
Trust me. Trust me. I've learned how to do that, too. So I really, I've got a lot of things I'd like to do that are not dramatic, big things.
You going to write a book?
No. I'll write some things, and I wouldn't mind talking about how young television broadcasters don't do a few things right. The mistakes that I made, I'd like to say to them, hey, try this and this and this. It might help
you. How to get in and how to do it this way.
Yeah, and also, you know, negotiating contracts. I mean, I know it's boring, and nobody wants to talk about that, but we don't negotiate our own contracts very well.
No.
We basically say, well, they were really good to me this year, so I'll take it.
Well,
that's baloney.
There's a very weird thing that goes on, right? I mean, you have to have a massive ego to think that you can sit here or sit on TV and that people care what you're saying or what you're thinking. At the same time, you're incredibly fragile and a little snowflake.
Right.
And you just say, the last thing you want to do is upset the boss.
Right. And so what you do is you hire...
Or more importantly, I mean, more truthfully, that's not true. What's more truthful is you don't want to have the boss tell you you're not worth what you think you are.
Yes, exactly right. That's why you hire a bug shield.
Yes.
And you hire a good one. You don't hire one from New York who says, okay, kid, I'm going to get you. And then he calls the boss and says, how about if I get you 3%?
Steve Mandel would be the bug shield in one of these scenarios.
Bug shield, a.k.a. agent. Yeah.
Second thing is we always act like we're rich.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm a burgeoning reporter from Minneapolis, and I get an offer double what I was making in Minneapolis and Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you come here, and you immediately go to the BMW, and God bless them, I love those cars, and put down a massive amount of money for a lease, and you'd pull into your parking lot. I'm the new reporter in town, dude. Live like the millionaire next door, and I see way too much of it in newsrooms. So I'd like to go to the Poynter Institute. I'd like to go to one of those reporter conventions and say, I've got two things I want to talk to you about, negotiating your contract better, and then live like you're not a millionaire, because you're not a millionaire, and you might be able to quit on your own. You might have more you-know-what money if the boss ever comes to you and says, you know what, you're not that good anymore.
Well, but here's the thing. I think those are both really important, but I think your skills, it's also really important that you keep telling stories. So have you thought at all about doing projects, doing things for video, doing podcasts, any of that stuff?
Not really.
Videocasts?
Not yet. I'm too fresh on the idea of unplug. Maybe. But I really want to unplug. Twitter, Facebook, I'm turning it off. I will watch. I will look. I'll read. But I'm not going to jump in.
Brian writes, I'm listening in Great Falls, Montana. Didn't know you were here. Welcome. Where are you headed?
Yes!
Are you in Great Falls?
No. He's more in the upper middle of the state. Montana, think of Montana as a gigantic kind of rectangle. And we're northwest, so I'm about 30 miles south of Glacier. Great Falls would be like in the middle, north central-ish.
And are you going to live year-round?
Yeah. Candace, my lovely wife, will...
She's the best. You know, I've always liked her better than you.
Yep.
Yeah, you knew that.
You've told me that. Yeah, yeah. You've told her that. Mm-hmm. She has said mid-January, because she likes to cross-country ski. I love the downhill. I already have my season pass for the year. Yeah.
Cool.
And I like to cross-country as well. So she likes some of the winter months, but she said about January 20th, we're out of here. So she would like to Airbnb it somewhere for a month or a month and a half, somewhere that we've
so
not.
So funny, Airbnb. Now he's on a fixed income. I got to go Airbnb it.
Oh, no, there's going to be no Four Seasons. Trust me. when you do this.
You got to make sure you know what you're doing.
I am on a fixed income. So,
as a matter of fact, speaking of fixed income, how many times do we hear Spike Odell use that term? And here's a texter. Actually, this is a Facebook chime in or Twitter, one of the two. First Spike, now Mark. Appreciate our Chicagoans who show us there is life after work. Enjoy it.
Well, thank you. Isn't that nice? Thank you very much. And you know what? I'm telling you, I don't want to get, you know, syrupy maudlin, but viewers and listeners, thank you. You know, I've been taught, there's way too much out there about me. You're like, oh, congratulations. Oh, this. Oh, you know, good luck. No. Thank you. And I it's been a privilege to talk to, serve, and report to you, the listener, and you, the viewer. Thank you.
It's nice. 722. Traffic, then more with Mark. Eric Edelstein's here. Going to talk about some politics here in a second, something you've covered in this town since the second you got here.
Yes.
Well, you know what you got? You got to tell a story about the first time that you met Obama, or Obama met you when he chased you across the parking lot.
Yep, I blew him off.
It's 722. Let's do traffic. Mary?
The media is fake. In the meantime, I'm here. It's sort of amazing. So I'm here, and I sometimes ask myself, how did I ever get here with the horrible, unfair publicity? And I don't mind. Look, if it's fair, if I do something wrong, treat me badly. But when we're doing good, it should be fair. The media is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it. And it's a shame. And they really hurt the country because they take away the spirit of the country.
Yeah, no one's ever used the word fake, ever, in any context. If there's one thing that Donald Trump has done successfully, it's create this image that news people make up stories. It's absolutely preposterous. And the sources that he believes most are, in fact, fake news. So Mark Sapelsa, before you leave town, is there anything that's been more aggravating than this?
No. No, he did to us, which would be the mainstream, hardworking journalists of America. And I, you know, in this day and age, mainstream, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have worked hard for centuries, and in this country for maybe a century and a half, because before that it was really yellow journalism. But he did to us what he did to Jeb Bush, what he did to little Marco. He was brilliant in throwing us under the bus and making us stay under the bus, squishing us with the bus tires in some segments of this country. And it worked. What he said, and you know what? He didn't make up the word fake, but I will say before him, fake news was not a phrase that I even thought about, or it wasn't in our lexicon. Now it is because of him. He's flat out wrong. I believe he's despicable. When he says this stuff.
Completely dishonest.
Yep, it's completely dishonest. And some of the stuff, he loves Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity is despicable. Pizzagate, Obama birther movement, Roy Moore consensual. I could go on and on about Sean Hannity. And I don't care if right now your phones light up with, what, Sapelsa's got an opinion about Sean? I do. I think he's a big jerk. I've worked with him. I've been at a convention in 2000 where he walked into the lunchroom where we all had to eat, and it was like frat time when Sean Hannity walked in. Bill O'Reilly was cool.
He's a fraud.
Al Combs was great. I like a lot of the guys over at Fox News. I really did. I really. Brett Baer was a great man. I really loved him. Love working with him or watching him work.
Sure.
Hannity was a jerk, an idiot, right. A dumb, you know what?
Right.
A former house painter who called into radio shows and got a job.
Well, he stole Rush Limbaugh's act.
And now That's who President Trump looks at and identifies as the truth teller in this country?
And the Fox.
That's all you need to know.
And the Fox Morning News, which is literally 4 hours of press release.
Sycophant.
From him.
Right.
Fox News has never been more biased. Outside of Shepard Smith, Fox News has never been more biased. And the amazing thing is when we get texts, and there's texts coming in now. We get texts from people going, he's right, the news is fake.
No, it's not.
The people that believe this, that's what hurts the most.
That's right.
Because if you buy that and you're consuming Breitbart News, there's nothing more biased in this country than Breitbart News.
No.
And Steve Bannon.
Breitbart did one thing right. It exposed Anthony Weiner.
Right.
It did. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. Completely.
You caught a person who needed some serious help.
So the problem is, and this is why.
But that's it.
This is why the founding fathers saw it to be so important. When we left England, because we wanted to have a free and democratic society, the brilliance of the Constitution, the way it was crafted, was, hey, we may not like what the writers of these newspapers and these pamphlets and these village things are town to town, but they have to say it. Because someone has to keep an eye on the people in power. When you blanketly paint the most powerful news organizations in the world as frauds, then nobody believes it when you're telling the true story. And the risk you run is that some lunatic leader will amass such great power that you will lose all your freedoms.
You mean Vladimir Putin?
Or Donald Trump.
The point is, we make mistakes. We in the mainstream media, we the hardworking journalists do make mistakes. And hello, Brian Ross. Own up to it. Suspend him.
Right.
Whatever, you know,
immediately.
Whatever. Immediately. It's fine. We all make mistakes, and we should make corrections right away. That's not fake news. That's a mistake.
Right.
And that's the line of delineation that he has clouded in a large segment of the population, which is a real shame, because if not for the media, you are correct. You would have the Vladimir Putins of the world, in which journalists would be shot. There would be nobody running against
Erdogan
Donald Trump.
From Turkey. Same thing.
On and on and on.
It's never been more important. It's never been more important to stress. And that's one of the reasons I'll miss you, pal, because you're one of the greats. And I don't know who's going to stand in and you know, carry that burden.
Well, your hyperbole is honorable. Thank you. I'm not great. I put my head down and go to work. I'm not Ron Majors. I'm not Floyd Calber. I'm just me, and try to do the best I possibly
can. But you got into this, and you believed in it, and you'll believe in it through tomorrow night and beyond.
Right.
Because you believe you should get two sources for every story.
That's right.
You believe in the tenets and the ethics of being a journalist, and you believe it's important because you know it is.
That's right.
As a journalist, you are remarkable. You are the consummate professional. You really are. And
well,
you
no, yes. No, you're right.
Absolutely is. And I just want to say this for what you just said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Eric and Pat, would you like to say anything fawning about Mark before your kickoff?
I never really cared for Mark. Seriously, I watch Channel 5.
Say again? How do you spell his name?
S-U-P-P.
Hey, he let me take the camera, though, at the convention. He let me do a monkey cam and roam around.
That's nice.
Is that where you were?
Every once in a while, you got to get creative, and they wouldn't let us on the floor. We only had so many passes, and I said, Pat, come here. I'm going to give you a camera. And he said, really? Sure. I said, yes.
Yeah.
Turn it loose. Go down there and get whatever you can.
It was monkey cam.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Did people get sick watching your...
like Blair Witch.
Well, I got a close-up of the Trump brothers.
Yes.
And then there was a fight up. And the thing, it was funny. Let me carry it around the whole place. I'm getting Roskam on. I'm like...
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
We got scoops galore, which we had to attribute to Pat Brady. But...
we got 60 seconds. Governor's race goes where from here? Because Pritzker says he's not going to debate anymore.
Well, he'll do some, but you know, he's been under siege this week for kind of hiding income, only reporting $15 million, not saying the source of his trust. There seems to be an argument against him that sort of a tax avoider, somebody who has as much money as he does, pulling out the toilets and the mansion and now this sort of offshore trust thing. So, you know, look, he's spent a lot of money. He's built up his name ID. I think the next 2.5-3 months are going to be really interesting. I always say in these elections, a funny thing happens when the voters get involved.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of surprising things, as we've learned, in good ways and bad ways can happen. So it's a long way to March.
And Governor Rauner, anything new there?
No, they're full steam ahead in the campaign. I agree. J.B. Pritzker had a really rough week, and you can't. One thing I believe anyway that voters don't like is a hypocrite. And he tries this man of the people routine when he's not paying taxes, and he said all very frank about it. He's going to raise taxes here if he's governor. So I think he's got some problems. But I tell you who I'd like to watch: our Attorney General nominee, Erica Harold, former Miss USA, Harvard Law grad. Very impressive, and I think she's actually doing a very nice job, so this will be interesting.
Attorney General's race will be just as interesting as the governor's race.
What a crowded field. I don't remember that many candidates ever running for attorney.
Yeah, and for us, the Republican have an African-American female under 100. That's a big deal for Republicans. You know?
Right? That's
a fair point. Thank you, gentlemen. Mark's going to hang around. We'll come back. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
Mark Sapelson's here before he does his final newscast tomorrow night. Dean is at Channel 9, soon to be Mark's place he used to work. Is this a good time, Dean, for you to discuss your longstanding feud with Mark Sapelson?
This is awkward now because I was just in Mark's office.
Uh-oh. Going through his stuff?
I was just, measuring for curtains.
Yeah, because Dean's got a desk, but he needs an office.
Yeah. Where is your office in the newsroom? They're all on the perimeter, but where's yours?
It's an unfortunate position. Dean, as you know, the copy machine is right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, right.
So everybody and their brother comes over for the copies.
So you have to keep the door closed if you want to get anything done.
17,000 copies a day.
Here on the morning show, it's not so annoying. The noise of the machine isn't as annoying as the people dropping their pants and sitting on the
on the glass.
On the plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff Hoover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Know? Hoover?
I don't want to mention any names, but
okay,
as long as you brought it up.
A couple of show business stories. I will not be here tomorrow, by the way. Are you guys doing a show tomorrow?
That.
I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who's
hey, if you want to fill in tomorrow, Mark, again, I'm not going to be here, but swing on in. The Stars home safe with all this fire activity in Los Angeles. I heard Rupert Murdoch's house was on fire.
Rupert Murdoch's house, he lost a winery, and you know how devastating that is, Steve.
I've lost my own.
When you've had a winery and it burns down. But yeah, his home in the Bel Air area is being threatened right now. Paris Hilton's home was threatened. She had to evacuate yesterday.
Does her house stand sideways and lean back slightly?
It poses.
I knew you were gonna. Steve, people's houses
this
are
a tragedy.
They're
okay. All right, as long as they're okay.
These people's houses are burning down.
Yes, show some respect, Steve.
But she tweeted, "This wildfire in L.A. is terrifying. My house is being evacuated. I have to get my pets out of there safely."
I didn't know she had any pets. Could she be confused, or that's possibly employees, isn't it? I mean, she's
she keeps collars on all of them. It's entirely possible.
But everybody else is okay.
Chelsea Handler's had to evacuate.
Oh, don't you take me down this road. You know how I feel about Chelsea Handler.
Liam Michelle. Steve, her house is burning down.
Yep.
Show a little compassion.
Don't care.
Will you please?
No, of course I care. It's awful.
Leah Michelle's had to evacuate yesterday. So,
well, we wish that. Seriously, we wish everybody in L.A.
You know, when the Stars are affected, now you know it's serious.
It changes the tour.
Yeah. That's right. I paid for the full tour.
Listen, here's a terrible story. David Cassidy left his daughter out of the will.
Oh, this is he left his entire estate, which was $150,000.
That's it.
That's all. He had a lot of financial trouble through the years. I'm actually shocked that there was that much in it. To tell you the truth,
right.
But he left it all to his son. In his will, he specifically states, "It is my specific intent not to provide any benefits hereunder to Catherine Evelyn Cassidy and or any descendant of Catherine Evelyn Cassidy." I know they had been estranged.
What's the nature of that?
But that's pretty severe when
it's awful.
You put a paragraph in that's specifically excludes somebody. And she was there. She was at his bedside when he died.
See, that's why I thought it was an oversight. You know, maybe he hadn't gotten his affairs in order. That makes it pretty clear, not so much.
Do we know why they had such trouble?
Nope.
Wow, so sad.
Maybe they reconciled and just the will was never updated. But
that's still sad.
She's left out. All of his music memorabilia will go to his half-brothers, Patrick Ryan and Sean Cassidy.
Sean Cassidy, I remember him.
Remember? Yeah. The Do Run Run.
R. Kelly's home was ransacked.
R. Kelly's home. He goes out on tour. This is another sad story, Steve. Why are you making me laugh like that?
I'm sorry.
You forced me. You pushed me into that.
I didn't
that.
Do this.
He goes out on tour. He comes back, and the house is empty. Everything's gone in the house.
Like everything?
Everything, apparently, according to the reports that we saw this morning, everything is gone. The maid was actually the first one to notice. She showed up. Everything was gone. And then reported it. Neighbors say they saw some suspicious trucks at the home for about a week.
Ruffians, ne'er-do-wells, thugs?
I would say ne'er-do-wells. Drifters? I would say ne'er-do-wells.
They sound like drifters to me.
Yeah.
And plug for Holiday Classics.
Here on WGN tomorrow night in addition.
You remember WGN, Mark. You used to work there.
Wait a minute. Spell it.
In addition to a rather historic news broadcast tomorrow night, immediately preceding will be our special holiday presentation of Family Classics. The old WGN movie series that ran here for 38 years, ran from 1962 to the year 2000. We've brought back what remains of the original set.
Were you watching Bozo when you were a little kid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Bozo and then the Cubs. And my mom would say, go outside. No!
Right.
Bert Hooten's about to pitch a no-hitter.
Did you ever get to play the bucket game? Did your mom ever try to get tickets?
She claimed, and I accused her of lying.
What a sweet story.
It's a beautiful holiday story.
We never made it, Dean.
Oh, that's too bad.
But did you ever get the buckets out there?
Since then, though.
One time on the then 5:30 news, Dean, when we first started the 5:30, before we went to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we had the Bozo buckets out once, and I think I got the 3. It's harder than you think.
It is. Much harder than you think.
Yeah. How far
bounces
have you gone,
out too fast, too.
I don't want to brag. You know, I have a long association with the clown and the buckets.
Yeah, you
so
do.
I've gone all the way, Steve.
Wow.
Are you talking about the bucket game?
Never mind what I'm talking about.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
Bye.
More with Mark Sapelsa in a second. I want to ask you about a youngster that you work with every day for the past several years. When did you come to GN? What year?
2008.
2008. So for the past 10 years, you've worked with a youngster named Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about Mr. Skilling when we come back.
Sounds good.
Mark Sapelsa's final newscast tomorrow night. I know you're going to be watching. It's 8:23, and we're going to name Mark's replacement coming up here in just a second.
We've been told people start sobbing. If for some, it's just a life-changing event. And we may start doing that, too. But I'll get my act together, guys. And I'll be back to you, I promise you. Guys, back to Chicago. Sorry about this.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Honestly, now listen. I know you love everybody you work with. Because you're a people guy, and I know you love the people you work with.
Yes.
Is there anybody you're going to miss more than Skilling?
What you heard there is exactly like
that's who he is.
Off the air and on the air. He started tearing up during a commercial break yesterday talking about, Mark, I was going to tweet something, and I didn't tweet it so well, and I was like, Thomas, you did a beautiful job. Don't worry about my farewell.
He is just one of the most genuine guys you'll ever meet.
Just amazing.
Got a huge heart. I've told this story before on the air, but it bears repeating, and I think you know it. Tom used to do, and maybe he still does, the full-page weather thing in the Tribune.
Yes.
That thing used to generate hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising, like in an instant. And they kept putting the paper to bed later and later, which was a very expensive proposition. And at one point, and I think it was Dennis Fitzsimons had to go to Skilling and go, you can't have a phone anymore. Because the problem was sweet little old ladies and eighth graders were calling.
Right.
And Tom would answer the phone and spend an hour and a half helping an eighth grade kid with his science project. And then he'd be crashing and running and trying to get the deadline for writing the weather page. That's who he is.
He still does it with tours, doesn't he, Mark? Like kids will come through or students and he will pose and take a picture with all of them.
I was just telling.
That's why he's Tom Skilling.
Yeah. I was telling Dave Ennett that we do these tours and these charity tours where people pay really good money to a great cause, silent auction, what have you, and that's how we give back.
because we can't do speeches everywhere. We're
sure.
busy people.
Sure.
Tom is really busy. So inevitably, I'll give a charity tour with the headline and meet Tom Skilling. Micah Mater once gave one, and she did not get out of the building. It was a 9 o'clock news tour, and she didn't get out of the building until 12:30 at night in the morning because Tom wouldn't stop talking to the tour. And the tour group wanted to leave.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The producer's just going, rap.
They've actually just learned to build it in, build the time.
Yeah.
And it is true that I go and get a cup of coffee almost every, you know, because I have it in my ear, so I can hear the whole forecast.
Yeah.
But I go down to my office from the studio during his forecast.
Do your taxes.
Yep, exactly. as Paul Conrad said on Twitter yesterday, I go to the Home Depot, return to the sump pump that I got the wrong size, came back. And he's still not done by the time I sit down on the set.
I've never known anybody who loved what he does more than he does and is still not so tunnel vision that he can't love people, too. He loves everybody he meets.
It is at his peril, though. He loves everybody he meets, but sometimes he doesn't really. He's so in a bubble that he'll miss the obvious outside of weather. I mean, there'll be, you know, this NSYNC group. When did they come along? Tom, 15 years ago.
Right.
You know.
Great texts continue to fly in for Mark Sapelsa, and most of them can be summed up with this one. Mark, two words. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Seriously, thank you again to viewers and listeners. It's been a privilege, and we cannot do this without them, and I thank them for inviting me in.
All right, more to come at 8:31. What's the big story coming up?
Big story is going to be some local reaction to President Trump's announcement yesterday recognizing Jerusalem
That's
as
next.
The Israeli capital.
On 720 WGN. Text, I love this text. Congrats, Mark. Can I have one of your ties? My wife loves the ties. This is one of the great scams that your team, Andrea, runs.
Yeah.
No, he's cute enough, but I love his ties. That's how women
right.
ogle guys like Sapelsa. Oh, I love his
great
ties.
My favorite tie is the peppermint stripe one.
Ah, very good.
The candy cane one.
Yeah.
That was, you know what? That was a cheap purchase in Vietnam.
Really? See, every tie has a story.
It was about $1.
That's wow. That's actually a book. Every tie has its story. You should write that.
I think I will. Yeah. Mark can write the foreword.
Sponsored by Ludigo.com. Everybody wins a Sapelsa tie. Let's do the big story.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My friend of 30 years. Man, is he old. Mark Sapelsa's here. And tomorrow night be his last newscast on Channel 9 before he goes off literally into the sunset because the sun sets in Montana.
That's right.
You know, one of my sermons, Mark, you know this forever, is about mental health, the lack of funding for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You don't snap out of it. You don't walk it off.
Right.
We need to treat it as seriously as we treat cancer and heart disease and everything else. I've dealt with depression the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm. As have I.
There's great ways with medication and talk therapy to make it work. That's what all of this is why I was so pleased to see the courage that Ginger Z shows in a book she's written about the topic, which some of you may have seen some of the interviews she's done recently about it. And she joins us on the phone now on a break from GMA. Good morning, Ginger.
Hey, good morning. So nice to speak with my Chicago people.
Yeah, how about Sapelsa quitting? What do you think?
Quitting tomorrow? Oh my! And and not even old. Come on, with the 30 years thing. No,
that's unbelievable.
I'm going to enjoy myself sitting back watching GMA at my leisure.
Yeah.
Instead of having to rush around.
I like that.
Yeah, you know. And kudos to you, Ginger. I mean, This is a wonderful opening to a lot of people. Thank you for sharing.
Natural disaster. I cover them. I am one. It's out and available everywhere. I'm going to break my own rule. Get three copies. That way, if you lose one, you'll have a backup for the original.
There you go.
So, thank you. It's been a really awesome release. I didn't know what to expect. And honestly, there was a lot of moments where I was terrified writing it. I had to stop in the middle of writing many times and kind of come to terms with realizing this was still therapy for me, because it is something that is always there. It's something that you're always going to deal with. But I am in such a more joyous place, especially since this came out, with just sharing and being transparent and having other people share their stories with me. I'm telling you, hundreds, if not at this point, more than 1,000 people have reached out directly in an email, Facebook, tweet, and they just keep coming. I'm almost overwhelmed by the wonderful response.
Well, it helps. It helps. It helps to see a familiar face say, "I'm going through this," and it makes people feel like they're not alone. And what people need to understand, you could be very attractive, a television star with a kid you love more than life itself,
right?
And a happy marriage and all those things, and still have this. It happens.
It does, and there's also such hope, because until I really found the help I needed, and it took me committing myself to a hospital, it went that far. That's the line I needed to get out to the world, because once I did that, it really feels like this is the whole next level of healing. And so I'm excited. I'm so hopeful to see like joy and sunshine coming into my life. But I know, and I hope that the people that see this, that maybe are in their darkest hour or close to it, can hopefully wake up and say, no, it's not going to last forever. It can't. It actually can't.
You've become inspirational in so many ways. We miss you here too, by the way, Ginger. I know you're...
Oh, and I love Chicago. I have so many family members there, and I'm coming back on Friday. I'm so excited.
Right.
Yeah. For Mark's farewell.
Yes, well, that and the book tour.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, and you know, you talk about that dark place, Ginger. I have been there. I too suffer from anxiety, depression. I take medication for it, and have been even before I went into alcohol treatment 5.5 years ago. So you get the combination of the two, and those are dark places. And for you to speak out,
it's huge.
It's wonderful. I mean, I spoke out 5.5 years ago about my alcohol addiction, and you know, if you help one person, as the cliche goes, and you know you're helping not 1,000 people, probably about 500,000 people who will hear this.
And it really, and that is the impact that I wanted to have, and I'm so glad, because otherwise it just would have been me, airing a bunch of dirty laundry for no reason, because I think you need to, you have to have the book be readable, and you got to have it move and have it be a story. But I realized, and that was the hard part, is I realized I did have a story to tell. Even in the short time I've had on this planet, I've been able to not overcome, because again, I don't think you ever overcome, but I think I've been able to fight really miraculously this thing that so many other people do, and I want others to be able to see that.
There's an environmental piece of this, and there's a genetic piece to this.
Right.
There's a chemical imbalance in the brain. It's nobody's fault.
Yep.
But again, until politicians start realizing that this is the most underreported condition in America, significant depression and clinical depression, and it cripples people. So again, I salute you. The book is called Natural Disasters. I cover them. I am one.
Yeah.
And how are you doing now?
Everything's good. I'm actually in a really great place. This pregnancy, and that's the other thing with pregnancy, your hormones are out of control. So I got to be really, sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
I have had such happiness and wonderful moments. And so I'm really looking forward to meeting this baby and, keeping our family moving. And the book, I don't think I even understood publishing whatsoever. I just kind of started writing, and then it came out, and then there it was. There's a book. It's starting to become real now, and I'm loving what it is. So.
And it's interesting. Do you know if it's a boy or girl, or are you not saying?
It's a boy. Oh,
well, then how about Sapelsa for a name? I mean, what have you done for Mark?
In honor of the best retirement.
Yeah. Sapelsa Z.
I'm not even joking. We're actually probably doing the middle name Mark, because that's my father-in-law's name.
Hey, look at that.
Well, you can claim credit for it, even though you had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Sapelsa doesn't have a ring, but Mark, not bad.
Mark's not so bad. Ginger Z, congratulations on doing this, and thanks for doing this. Natural Disasters, I cover them. I am one. And happy holidays.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for being on.
Good
stuff. Speaking of Ginger Z, which, of course, reminds me of Channel 5,
yes,
where you spent several years, even though you didn't cross paths with Ginger Z.
Right.
Anything you want to say to those folks?
Oh, several will be at the old company party that they're throwing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I still connect with them. I still, call, tweet, text, all that sort of stuff with them. And some of the best years of my life right there. Coming back home to Chicago in 1993, I knew that was a tall order of a newsroom to try to assimilate in and conquer with.
Yeah.
And it was tough. Majors, Marine, I mean, Dick Kay, all those legendary reporters. And they looked at me like, what do you got, kid?
Right.
And when you cut your teeth there, you leave some of you there. And so it was sad to leave. I left and went to Fox because I got one of those offers I couldn't refuse type thing. But many, many friends were not in the wake. They were still with me, and I will cherish it forever.
And, of course, you got to work for Larry Wirt twice, which,
That's right.
which I have as well. And, boy, aren't we lucky. Larry was under the weather recently, so I hope he's feeling better.
I had some lunch with him. He bought me lunch a couple of weeks back, and he hobbled in ever so gingerly.
He's been playing hurt for a while,
but
he doesn't slow down a bit.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. There were seven people walking up to him with a business talk and this and that the one restaurant, and he had barely been out of bed an hour because of his. He was working on his back and all that kinds of stuff.
Last time the mayor was in, he came up to me and he goes, can you hook me up with Larry? How does he know so many people?
We call him the mayor.
Exactly right. All right, more coming up with Mark Sapelsa, my friend Ann Johnson, former producer of this program. All of our friend Ann Johnson just gave me this is very nice, gave me a copy of her first book.
I know. How cool is that?
That is the cutest
Pretty
book.
Sweet.
Now she's a famous author.
It. Pretty sweet. We'll come back and talk to Ann, too, in a few minutes after 9 o'clock. More from you guys, too. Tons of great texts coming in about Mark Sapelsa, who, as you know, died about a week and a half ago, but yet he's here today to say goodbye.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Stand by. More coming up. Mary, what do you got? CLTV will join us here in just a couple of minutes. And then, as I said, Ann Johnson's and more with Mark Sapelsa. This is how good a friend I am after 30 years. I didn't get him coffee.
I know. Poor guy's like, can I get a cup of coffee?
Yeah. And I said, yeah, Starbucks across the street. Good luck.
You did say that, yeah.
But he'll come back here in just a couple of minutes. Mark Sapelsa's final Channel 9 newscast tomorrow night at, what would it be? The 10 o'clock, I guess, right?
10 mm-hmm. o'clock news?
Yeah. 10, mm-hmm. well, starts at 9.
They'll make him work right through the 10 o'clock news.
Oh, yeah, they will.
What if he gets to the 9 o'clock newscast, gets to the end, and goes, screw it, I'm out. What are you going to do, fire me?
Mic drop?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Salute to Channel 9, too, because they're sending him off in style with, it's sad, but it's great. It's good for him.
Hey, you got coffee. He's back with coffee.
That's it. We'll come back. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You know what I've never asked you? Why Montana? Mark Sapelsa.
Yeah, you know, I'll try and not bore you to death with the story, but I was in Minneapolis working, and Candace and I were kind of canoeing and camping our way west because I'd never been.
There were planes.
I know, but it's not as fun. Lewis and Clark, you know, they didn't have a plane. So we thought... And we got to Spearfish, South Dakota, and went, wow, this is just beautiful. I wonder what's on. If we keep going, what will it be like? So the next year, we actually did fly to Montana and started just canoeing, camping.
But you were Montana before Montana was cool. Before it became the celebrity go-to place, you were hyping Montana.
Well, I was trying to get an interview, one-on-one interview, with the former CEO of Northwest Airlines, who had just been fired in a corporate takeover at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what are you going to do with your $47 million parachute money that you got for, resigning? He said, well, I'm going to go out to my place in Montana and think about things. Wait, where in Montana? And he said the northwest corner of Montana, which is ultimately where we did buy a place.
What's the biggest town near you?
Kalispell. Flying to Kalispell. It's
population.
Oh gosh,
10,000?
No,
5,000?
More than that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
12.
It's near.
Is it 12,000?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay.
It's right near Whitefish, which is now relatively infamous because of the Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where we ski. But anyway, so he said, "Look out! That's where real cowboys still live, and where the land is less expensive than." And he said it. Ted Turner, Tom Brokaw own like the southwest portion of it.
Right.
David Letterman hadn't bought yet. Bozeman wasn't purchased by John Mayer yet. And so I did. We went to the northwest corner and we did find some stuff that we could afford. And so we picked one.
Closest neighbor, how close?
Well, relatively next door, I would say maybe like 200 yards, but we don't see them because of the trees.
Okay, but you do have someone 200 yards away.
Exactly. And on the other side, more like, 10,000 yards away.
Okay.
So, I mean, we feel we're on a lake, so just like a Wisconsin.
Do you buy a lot, or you just go here's a chunk of Montana?
We bought 1 acre, house with water on both sides, so to speak.
Wow!
So we're like on a little peninsula.
There's hot air balloons on the little brochure. So can we go hot air ballooning when we go visit Mark?
Yeah, right. And
You have some elevation there, right?
Well, we're at 3,000 some feet,
but it's not flat as a pancake like parts of Montana.
No, but we are in the Flathead Valley, which is fairly flat.
Why are you looking at me when you say Flathead?
Okay, go ahead.
Just in general.
And so there is, we're in like a flat farmy area with lakes, but then the Rockies are right, we're at the foot of the Rockies. So
it sounds beautiful.
Yeah. It just.
And by the way, and I haven't said this yet, I can't say enough great things about your wife. Candace is a fabulous woman.
She's kept our family together, kept our lives together.
A great mom and just a great lady. I love seeing her.
Yep.
And love talking to her. And you not so much, but I'll miss seeing her.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
She saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, when she said, do you need help?
Yeah.
You know, back in 5.5 years ago, I said, yeah. And it was her that pushed me into help.
Yeah. And, you know, for folks who are struggling with that as well, because we talked about depression, and certainly there's forms of it involved with addiction issues, you were lucky enough, smart enough, listen to Candace and cut it off before you got to that bottom. But for somebody that's struggling today, what's the first step? Just get into a meeting?
That's what I would tell them. I mean, that's what I did. And people have gotten on me for saying, you can't tell people what to do. No, you're right. That's, you know, the 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous credo is not to tell them what to do, but it's what you did. Mm-hmm. And the first thing my friend Ron Majors said is, well, let's, you know, talk about treatment center. And, you know, there are meetings, too. And I didn't know what those meetings were. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
What? And I went to treatment. And day three, they said, well, when you get out of here in 26 days, you know what you're going to have to do. What? Tell me. What's the magic bullet?
Right.
There is none. You go to meetings, and you keep going to meetings, and you keep going to meetings.
For the rest of your life.
So that's what I do.
Right. It's an amazing process. You know, I've gone to Al-Anon meetings many times, and because I'm the king of codependent, you know, growing up with Olympic-level professional alcoholics.
I remember you telling me.
But it's an amazing process. It really is. Yeah. There's something very magic about the 12 steps.
Yeah, there's no easy road. The 12 steps are hard. The 12th step is, by the way, sponsor others and help others.
Yeah, pay it forward.
And that's kind of what I will do a lot of when I have more time here.
And Majors, too, right? Majors is phenomenal.
Oh, you should have seen him when I sat down. My wife said the day that she said, the morning, excuse me.
Ron Majors we're talking about.
Yes. 3:30 in the morning, May 3rd, 2012. What are you doing down here? I said, what I've been doing at night for a long time. I didn't tell you. Drinking too much.
Right.
She said, do you need help? Yes, I do. We woke up, you know, 6 hours later, and she was already Googling, you know, where should I go? She said, you know what you got to do first? Go have breakfast with Ron Majors, who's been in the program for 30-plus years.
Yeah.
And I
could have killed him in Minneapolis, and somebody stepped up and
stepped
up for him.
And I said, Ron, I have to tell you something. I think I'm an alcoholic. And he, what?
Yeah.
And immediately, his phone was like the, you know, the Google of, here's where you go for help.
Yeah, because he knows. He's that guy. Well, you called me. You called me the afternoon before you went on TV to tell me, listen, I didn't see it coming. And I salute you because you've changed lives, too.
I honor you.
I've got a rusty old Chevrolet sitting in the driveway. Gets me from A to B, but ain't a pretty sight to see. Needs a new paint job. Hubcaps are falling off, but with you in the front seat, your beauty chugged down the streets. Oh, 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 oh. Why don't you hop in, girl? Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause it look a whole lot.
You know, as a parent, all you want is for your kids to grow up and be happy and find something they love and get to do it. You want to tell people who that is, Mark Sapelsa?
Wow. That's my daughter, Ava Sapelsa. I think she sang that in the studio.
She did. She did. That's actually a live recording. She's a great person.
That's so nice of you.
What a phenomenal talent. And I hope she gets whatever she wants out of her Nashville experience and more. But we were talking off the air, and you said she's having a blast.
She is, yeah. She's doing great down there. She's working for a record marketing company and then at night doing what you're supposed to do, which is write songs, gig, do whatever, just to kind of bust your way in. She knows it's a long road, but she's having a blast.
Speaking of kids, Ann Johnsess is here. Ann was the original producer of The Return of Me, so it's her fault. And she's here with her first book called Potty Mouth. You're one of the great moms I've ever known.
Thank you.
So,
And when you left here and got to have all this extra time with the girls, it wasn't the cliche of I'm leaving to spend more time with your kids. You actually got to spend more time with your kids.
It's true. And one of the things that sort of started that was that when I was here and my little one was five, she told me she had to pretend that she loved me. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, because you're not here to brush my hair in the morning. And at that point, I was like, oh, my gosh.
How about that? So, how about that? Knife right between the ribs.
Yeah,
right.
And it just felt like maybe I should do what I should do. They didn't ask to get born, right?
Right.
So spending a little time with them has been great.
I love your imitation, too.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, this is what I think is really smart, what you did, because Ross in particular, Amy as well, but Ross in particular would ask the craziest questions when he was a little kid. Mm. So I got to write them all down. I didn't write them down.
No.
And you don't remember all the funny things that your kid says or does. You have committed them all to your first book, Potty Mouth, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, out and available everywhere?
Yeah. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but I suggest getting it at your local bookstore because that helps out the local bookstore.
So. Yeah, and I would say, once again, second time this morning, I violated my rule. Get five copies.
There you go. Absolutely.
Because we're looking forward to the sequel.
I'm glad you did this because you were always coming in telling stories about your girls who were absolutely adorable.
What did they call wine? I forgot.
Mommy juice. Right?
Mommy juice.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then
now I feel guilty because Mark's sitting next to me.
Oh, don't worry. Listen, I've heard all the jokes.
One of my favorites. I think this is perfect for this time of year too. Just these stories are so great. And we would come in and say, "Oh, tell us, you know what the girls did today. Can Santa see me when I'm naked?"
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite questions.
Yeah, tell the story.
Priceless.
Right, so which one was it? Do you know page?
Page 115.
Okay, so
And the illustrations are awesome, too.
Oh, I love the illustrations.
The cover of the book is great.
Yeah.
What's the name of the guy?
His name is John Britton, and he and I went to college together, and we met by playing opposite each other in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. So
from your Yale drama days?
Yes. So we met as cartoons, and now he has created me as a cartoon. So
it's pretty cool.
It's fitting. Yeah,
anyway, can Santa see me when I'm naked from your six-year-old? Let me think about that. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Think you're going to be fine, but
just don't sleep naked.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
You know. Advice your kid could carry forward.
Perfect.
For a long time.
Yeah. Although I think that the littler one does sleep naked, so that's a problem.
Are the girls excited? They're featured in a book?
Yeah, they are. And it was interesting because they went through the pages with me before we committed to them because I didn't want them to be embarrassed.
Sure.
And
so your editors were your daughters?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And there was one moment where Sophie, my older one, said, "You can't use this one." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Because it makes you look bad." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And it was, I had red marks on my eyebrows. And she said, "What's wrong with your eyebrows?" And I said, "It's a classic case of overplucking." And she said, "You pluck your eyebrows like I pluck my violin?" And I was like, sort of. And she's like, "Do your eyebrows make music?" and my thought, I didn't say it to her, but I wrote down, my thought was, "Does your violin make music?" And so when she read it, she was like, "No, you have to be the nice one. Yeah. We're the mean ones."
Wow, that's
trying to protect
awesome
you.
Yeah, right. Me.
She knows the audience, right?
Yes.
You know,
that's awesome.
So that one, so she knows that I tell that story now, but it will never be printed. So,
the staycation from you. What's your favorite part of spring break? The pool, the boat, the beach. You're a 5-year-old at the time. Which one was the 5-year-old?
This would be Hannah.
This is Hannah. She paused, looked up, and this is such a great kid line. She goes, "The gum."
That makes it too how you imitate them.
I don't
too.
Care what it's you so spend perfect. On tickets. The gum,
the gum. Right. And in fact, that was the vacation where I was calling in from Florida in the middle of the night for us because we were doing like football picks.
Oh,
and I would
yes.
go. I was going yes, down into the yes, car yes. and calling into the morning show. And
yes, yes.
So
yes.
apparently, the gum won out. Yes.
Yeah,
it's still such a successful segment too.
And I speaking think, of football, yeah. When we come back, why don't we do the picks and you and Mark can be co-celebrities.
All right.
So we'll come back. We'll do the
Wang
picks.
Dang Doodle?
Yes, the Wang Dang Doodle, season 2017. Again, more with Aunt Johnso's too. Potty Mouthed, the book, Big Thoughts from Little Brains. By the way, spell Johnso's, J-O-H-N-S-O-S, Aunt Johnso's. Walter's Perspective now, and it is sponsored by HearingHealthCenters.com. I'm looking at TripAdvisor.com. The okay. top 10 things to do in Big Fork, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what do you got?
The Big Fork Summer Playhouse.
It's a, you know,
The guy that does the farmers insurance commercials with the glasses won the Academy Award.
Oh yeah, yeah, for the
We
for
Are
the movie.
Farmers. That
yep,
guy.
Yep. Yeah. He won. He started there.
Oh, he did.
J.K. Started there. Simmons.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. He's great. We love him.
Yeah.
Swan River Nature Trail.
Oh, it's we take it every other day. Cross country ski and walk it. You got a beautiful view of the Swan River and the mountains to the west.
Wayfarer State Park.
Beautiful spot right on Flathead Lake there.
Echo Lake.
That's near where we are.
Okay.
Great water skiing, warmest water in the region.
You get an echo?
Pardon me?
You get an echo?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Swan Lake is the other lake?
Swan Lake is down a couple of miles. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Right along the highway.
Whistling Andy.
Don't know that. Oh, that must be
the distillery.
Whiskey distillery. Brand new.
Yeah.
Obviously,
oh, that's new.
Fairly new. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I have never been there.
The Jewel Basin hiking area.
The best in the country. It is. We face it with our cabin. We look at the Jewel Basin hiking area, and it's a 7,000-foot alpine lake area where there's no traffic, no cars, no nothing allowed, and it's all hiking, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's more lake trails and boat tours and sightseeing tours. And
yeah.
This is one that's interesting, too. Paint, watch dry. That's also one of the big things to do there.
Well, we might have to do a little bit of that because we've got some cedar posts that we need to stain annually.
All right, Sandberg, would you explain to Sapelsa and Jensos how this season's version of the Wang Dang Doodle works? Oh, stand by. Oh, I didn't realize we're going to music. All right, now explain it, please.
You pick a game and a score.
Okay,
that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I will say also this morning, I was kind of in a mood, and as I was sorting the commercials, when I saw Pajamagram 918 for Dave,
lightened
up, made my morning.
Lightened up, yeah,
told Mike right away, we got a Pajamagram coming today.
I didn't know. Dave sexes that thing up like nobody's business.
I know.
He really does. So
I'm sitting right next to him. The humidity went up.
I mean, right?
Yeah. Like the dew point.
It's a Skilling's outside the window right now.
And I don't like my feet covered in bed, but I do want a hoodie footy because he talks about it.
That's right. That's right. Sell that hoodie footy.
So are Ann and Mark choosing together or
separate celebrities?
Separate
lineup? Yeah, okay. Separate celebrities.
So are we talking NFL? Are we talking
NFL?
Game and a score.
Game and a score, and you can't repeat a game. When the game is selected, it's gone. All right, you start, Ann Johnson. Would you like the Bears game?
Yeah.
Bears at Cincinnati.
Ugh. I'm going to say 0-0.
A tie.
And that's the end of the fourth quarter.
Bears at Cincinnati one more time.
Okay.
By the way, this is Ann Johnson's author of Potty Mouth, the Big Thoughts from Little Brains. Get yours today.
All right. 6-3.
6-3.
Yes.
Bears or Bengals?
Cincinnati.
Hey, where's her countdown clock? You only get 10 seconds.
No, he was busy.
Sorry.
He was tied up.
No, that's okay.
All right, Mark.
Green Bay at Cleveland.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Are you going to game?
You're not going to believe
it. Give me a score, otherwise you don't get it in.
13-6, Green Bay.
Oh. All right, now you're going to be there. Why?
So I've got a buddy that I've been going to Packer games with for years, and we picked at the beginning of the season. He said, for your retirement, I will buy the tickets. Where are we going? And we threw a dart at the board.
And that's what he got.
It was Cleveland!
Have you been to a football game in Cleveland?
No, but I've been by the stadium a number of times, and we were warned by our meteorologist, Demetrius Ivory, he said, sit with your back to Lake Erie.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will be really miserable.
Do you remember when the Hawks played the Penguins?
Oh, yes.
And we had the tent facing
yes,
Lake Michigan?
It was. Oh, we're still defrosting from that.
Yes.
Because the snow was blowing in
right,
and forming a pile of snow on the tent.
And I think
they're
getting a foot of snow on Saturday.
Yeah.
So Sunday ought to be just something
fantastic.
Else.
Andrea and Steve Grzanich.
All right. Steve, what are you thinking?
Andre, you got this one.
All right, Steve. I'm thinking Cowboys over Giants 21-12. What do you
think? I like it.
All right, cool. Yep. We're in, Mayor.
Dave Ennett and John DeCasse.
Okay. John just texted me. We're going with.
Oh, yeah.
Countdown. It's taking
Houston
a long time.
Over San Francisco 24-24. I can't read his handwriting. 20.
Let me see the text from John.
I think the buzzer went off.
Let me see this.
Lies.
Oh, you deleted it?
Lies. They're just Trump-like lies.
Mr. Cochran.
Game of the weekend. The Eagles at the Rams.
Ooh.
The Rams surprise team of the year. Rams win a big scoring battle, 33-30.
That's an upset.
And? Is that everybody?
The Marys. Why are we last?
You're last because you're last.
The Marys.
What do you mean the Marys?
What's with this? The Sapelsa fellow films in here?
Oh, Pittsburgh over Baltimore, 24-17.
Well, that's a great score.
What do you mean?
Let's go to Vandeveld's conscience. How do you feel about that pick?
Well, I wouldn't have picked it, and I'll tell you, that Sapelsa's not as handsome in person.
Didn't say that.
He's right, though.
There you go. That's your Wang Dang Doodle picks.
Can we ever get our results?
Yeah,
Sam
Brink, we'll tote those up and give them to us next week before we pick so we can find out where we are in the standings.
Does that take time away from Mark? Sapelsa farewell.
No. Well, John says Sapelsa, this could be a new thing.
Yes.
They're just picking football. Can you stick around for a minute?
Sure.
All right, Potty Mouthed and more with Mark Sapelsa coming up. All right, I'm going to do something I don't do almost ever.
Okay.
If you'd like to ask Mark Sapelsa a question or say hello or say anything to Mark, including all the things you really wanted to tell
him. Oh, I'm sure they do.
312-981-7200. We'll grab a couple of phone calls and we'll do the big story next.
How do I say goodbye to what we had?
December 7th. The other day that will live in infamy. We salute all the vets, by the way, on this Pearl Harbor Day, of course.
Right.
Proud of our commitment to military causes on this show. My own dad. Was your dad a World War II guy?
No.
Mm-mm. I was thinking he was the right age.
He was, let's see.
He was more Korea.
He would have been in that age, right?
Yeah.
He was a college basketball star, so I have no idea if they got a deferment or what the deal was. Or
bone spurs. That's what all the hip kids are doing. Yeah. It's bone spurs.
Ulcer, whatever.
We salute you wherever you're serving and the family serving here as well. And Johnson's here as well. Potty Mouth, the big thoughts from Little Brains. Book signing at Read Between the Lines, the Woodstock Square. That's this Saturday from 1 to 3. By the way, the Woodstock Choir that came in were unbelievable.
Oh, my God. They great?
Wow. Just phenomenal.
You texted me. You're like, were they this good when you were in the choir? And I was like, no, not even close.
They were just phenomenal. So where is Read Between the Lines? Is that right downtown?
It's right on the square. So, okay. And Arlene Lines, who runs it, owns it, is just a huge supporter of local authors. I think Caldwell. What's
Laura.
Laura.
Yeah.
Laura has signed some books there.
And you're doing other book signings as well.
Yes.
You got a website you want to send people to for that?
Sure, pottymouth.com.
Okay.
And it's
love it.
I never thought that I would, if you Googled John Sos and Potty Mouthed, anything would show
sweet.
Up.
That's sweet.
Potty Mouth, ED, Potty Mouthed.
Yeah, yes. Mouthed, yes.
Mark, a texter from the 773. We had the toughest time convincing my dad to get help for alcoholism. Your story was the happy tipping point for him. He had the utmost respect for you. He was truly inspired. He said, I guess good guys really do need help from time to time. He learned it was okay and perfectly natural to ask for help. He is now sober and sponsoring others.
That's awesome.
How good does that make you feel?
That's the best.
Right?
Yep, that's the best stuff I could possibly get. Thank you and congratulations to you.
That's good stuff. Tomorrow night, you're going to do your last newscast. Do you know what you're going to say?
Nope, not yet. My wife has actually asked, what are you going to, what's, I don't know yet. I really don't know.
Will you write in advance or will you just talk?
Probably just talk, but I'll probably tomorrow morning wake up and get a fresh cup of my first 10 gallons of coffee and just think a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put a few bullet points down. Just, you know, I shouldn't forget this and I want to remember that. But then
you can't thank everybody.
No, you
can't
do that.
It's impossible.
You can't do that. But, you know, just a couple of thoughts here and there. And then just come to the game with it. Come to the broadcast with it, not with a note in my hand, but just like, okay, folks.
Shockingly, you and I are the same age, or very close in age. Who is your idol as a kid? Was it Cronkite?
News idol, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it was probably, you know, it was in that, I don't mean to date him, but that Bill Curtis, Walter Jacobson era was.
Oh, no, they know they're old.
Well, 1990, I came from Minneapolis to Chicago,
yep.
Right across here. The NBC Tower was just opened up about a year before that, and they had the Emmys there. And I walked up to him and I said, Walter, I'm a big fan. My parents love you. And he looked at me like,
You creep.
You just aged me, you punk.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, I came to Chicago, and we became good friends in spite of the fact that, you know, Walter didn't last long at Fox when I was there.
Speaking of friends, your friend and ours, Anna DeVlunt, has texted in to say she loves you and she loves working with you.
She's the best. You know, she makes the Rokan show, you know.
I've told you that.
Somebody has to. And is there somebody that was really instrumental in your Chicago years here?
Yes.
That we wouldn't know that you ought to mention? I don't know if it's a producer, maybe somebody in management, maybe it's just somebody you came across, but somebody who deserves some credit that otherwise wouldn't get a mention.
Boy, that's a really good question, and there are probably many. I mean, there's a guy named Joe Colina, who's still a manager over at Channel 5 right now, who probably looked at me like, okay, kid, you're a ball of clay here. And he would look me in the eye and grab me by the lapels, essentially, sometimes literally, here's what I want from that story that you're going to go out and get. Give it to me this
really?
Week, blah, blah, blah. I'd say, wow, thank you for that advice. Sometimes he'd be like, I know how to do this. You know, we were irascible reporters. Right. But there were words, pearls of wisdom that would come from him as he sat in the middle of chaos as the executive producer of all those afternoon shows when he'd send a kid like me out. Carol Marine, I have to say, everyone obviously knows her, but when I got to
whatever happened to her? Did she ever make anything of herself in the business?
I hope she calls someday. Mm-hmm. When I got there in 1993, that was a newsroom, a chaotic newsroom of reporters who were stabbing each other in the back to get sources.
Sure.
In the same newsroom.
Yep.
And they looked at Dick Kay, Phil Walters, God rest his soul, looked at me like, what are you doing here, you punk, and didn't talk to me for 6 months because I hadn't proven anything.
Yeah.
And Carol pulled me in the office and said, do you want to make it here? Literally, do you want to make it? I said, yes. And I said to her, I'll do anything you tell me to do journalistically here to do the right thing. And she guided me for the first 6 months and advocated for me. Sent me out on stuff that I shouldn't have been sent on
that's
stories.
That's pretty cool.
You know, when somebody else should have gone.
That's pretty cool. And Johnsos, you taught journalism at Northwestern.
I did.
You optimistic about kids today?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
I think that there's a lull of integrity right now. I think too many of the kids I was teaching before I left were more interested in being famous than getting the story.
The flight attendant syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. So
I respect flight attendants, but I mean, the point was I want to do something interesting, but
if you want to be on the news to be famous, don't be on the news.
Right, absolutely. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, you want the front table at the restaurant.
Right, right.
Yeah, you want to get a nice Beamer and drive it around.
Yeah.
And,
you talked about this earlier too, about the idea that, you know, you get your first big job and then suddenly you think you're rich.
Right.
Or that success, you know.
Yeah.
But I have to hope that the generations that's following, sort of the I think they're calling them iGen now, the generation that's never existed without an I thing.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, really good way to put it.
So I think there's more, the pendulum swinging back.
Well, you've been doing television every weekend and doing the radio as well. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about this.
Sure.
But I think the fallout from Trump's maniacal behavior and this fake news thing is a stronger commitment because true journalists can't get it wrong.
Absolutely. You know,
right. Everybody makes mistakes. You admit it. We were talking about the Brian Ross thing earlier.
Yeah.
But there's never been more of an era where you have to get it right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And with Twitter being the sort of the main news source now,
right.
It's easy to get it wrong. So we have to double down and make sure that we don't.
Check your sources, double check and triple check and work hard. And you both epitomize that as well, too. Just working hard, not expecting everything to come for you. You're going to have to work overnights and 7 days a week and holidays. It just is.
Oh, yeah. That's what I talk about, the flight attendants. If you're a flight attendant, you work your tail off.
Yep.
And
yeah.
It's a thankless job where you're not making as much money as you should.
Right.
So some people go into that business going, but I get free flights and I'm going to be flying places. And then they realize a month later.
Right.
What did I just get myself into? This is a hard job.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. It's not hard like our dads did, but it's hard.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah. It's hard.
I'm not digging ditches.
Yeah.
I'm not. I haven't gone to war.
No.
You know,
my father. I remember him going, "You get paid how much to talk?"
Right, exactly. Right.
It's 9:53. We'll come back and wrap this up and give it to Bill and Bill's co-host of the day.
I think it's Rick Hogan today.
Is it Rick Hogan?
According to the program.
Coming up on 7:22, she wrote down all the things her kids said and made them even funnier with her response as well. Big Thoughts from Little Brains, out and available everywhere. Book signing at Read Between the Lines, Woodstock Square, Saturday from 1 to 3. One of many. And the website again is?
Pottymouthed.com.
Rick Kogan's here. He's going to do the Bill and Wendy show today. You've seen everybody all the way back to Al Capone's brother Sal, who was one of the early TV guys in Chicago.
He wanted to do radio early.
Yeah, he did.
I said, no, there's no chance. Invented the podcast. I said, you can do a podcast. Oh, and he said, oh, wow, that sounds really fun.
What's a podcast?
Yeah.
What would you like to say to Mr. Sapelsa?
Well, as I said when I walked in here, congratulations. I am unbelievably envious, but nevertheless really happy for you.
I might have gone five more years had I had the source list that Rick Kogan has.
Yeah, he wouldn't give it up.
I'm telling you, I have five email in my box right now at work where they gave me a story tip but said, but if you can't, do you know Rick Kogan's number? Serious. I kid you not.
This is like, well, Mark, you're on TV.
He's the go-to guy.
But he's the real guy.
Listen, if you need...
Is there still a Tribune? Yes, if there is, get me in touch with
you. You remember
guy.
When we used to call 411? He is 411.
Yes.
Yes. Anything you'd like to say to Mark?
Again, you're the consummate professional, and just thank you for all that you do. Thank you for everything that you've done at WGN TV.
And I won't take long, but you do excellent work here, and you do wonderful work for us on WGN TV, and we should have you on TV more.
Thank you. Well, that's very nice. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there this anchor slot open now? Can't you, fix that up? Can't you make that happen?
There you go. Tomorrow night, your last newscast, 10 o'clock? You doing the 10?
Yes.
Because I say you blow it off and leave at 9.
No, that's during skilling. I leave for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mow my lawn, come back, and he's still not done.
So if we tune in around 10:27 and a half, knowing TV, you'll have all of 30 seconds to say goodbye.
Exactly.
But let me say this, because, guys don't do this. But I love you, pal.
Thank you. I love you, too.
And you and I, we go back to Minneapolis playing basketball in the parking lot when I should have been paying attention to the show.
That's right.
And
at the old KDWB.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
Look at
now you guys. I hire people to play basketball for me. But you are a great dad, a great husband, and a phenomenal talent. And it's our loss. It's your gain. Go off and enjoy yourself. You've invited me. I'm going to bother you in Montana.
Very good.
But thank you for doing this. It went way too fast and all the other cliches. But you're one of the best ever to do this. And I appreciate your friendship first and the professional association second. And both have been great. So thank you for that.
You're better and better and better of everything you said. Seriously.
Stop.
You've had my back.
Okay, keep going.
Even when the chips have been down for me at times, you were like the first phone call there.
Friends are for it, pal.
Thank you.
For both of us.
Have you said go Marquette yet? I hope that they've worked in some Marquette.
Oh, we're out of time for a Marquette plug.
Warriors! I'm sorry,
we'll
Golden Eagles.
See you tomorrow on TV.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bud. Don't forget the makeup.
Want me to read this?
And if you would, then we'll turn it over to you.
Good luck, Mark. You'll have fun.
And I'll see you Monday. EWGN.